Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker. You can also find me on the Game Brain podcast. And joining me is a wonderful, wonderful man who sometimes will wear a giant bow on his chest that looks like driftwood. It's Ronnie Karam. What's going on, Ronnie?
How dare you? I feel violated and I stand by it.
Violated? Welcome everyone. We're talking Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We had originally thought we were going to do this as a Crappens on Demand, but we're having bad hair days. So, we're not, but we did have Real Housewives of New York and our Mayor of Easttown part two bonus episode. That is also Crappens on Demand. So if you need to see our faces, cause I'm sure everyone needs to see our faces, go check those out at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Enjoy all that Roni and Mare content. Okay.
Yeah.
Love that Mare. Okay. Love that adorable Mare. That Mare of Easttown just vaping away and having a wonderful life. So,
guys,
I'm caffeinated.
I know that everybody out there has been like, this season of Beverly Hills has been kind of different. I mean, it's been, you know, kind of moving along. We've got new things happening. We've got Erica and her whole victim spiel coming out. We've got all this going on. We need this season to be about one extremely petty thing. That is Beverly Hills's thing. Well, guess what? We get to talk about Sutton walking in on Crystal again. We're going to talk about it every fucking day for the rest of our lives. Okay.
Kyle is back to doing what Kyle does best, which is bringing up a petty thing as if it's like, oh, we just coincidentally brought this up, as if she hadn't planned it out. And then we're going to fight about it again. So that's where we're at, you know, doorknob gate, I guess. So we open up at Children's Hospital, Los Angeles, where Kyle and Crystal are dropping off toys for the kiddos. And Kyle's like, I have to apologize for eating so many dumplings at your house last night. And then the editors had a field day making a montage of Kyle slurping and chewing and eating dumplings for like, it's like a 45 second montage.
Yeah, now Beverly Hills, the women on Beverly Hills are always pretending to eat. I mean, Lisa Rinna is like a Bethany Frankel in this. Like, she's very good at it. She'll get a plate of food and then just push it around with her fork, or like fake eat something where she'll put a bite in but not eat anything. And we're like, we can see this. This is on camera, Lisa Rinna. Okay. So they're very Crystal does it later in this episode. Beverly Hills, a big show that's like, look, we're eating. Kyle eats. Kyle will eat.
Kyle actually does eat. Like, those dumplings, like, that was one of the most real Kyle moments. Like, just her going to those dumplings. Like, I've been that person at parties before, just wandering back to
those. I'm that person every day. I'm that person all day. So Kyle is really trying to get me to relate. So, you know, there's that. She's dancing around in some weird red sequined, I don't know, I guess it's something you wear when you're doing children's charity work. I'm not really sure.
Something like that.
I wear, like, an umpire uniform.
We umpire uniform. It should be noted, we didn't discuss this actually on the show, although we did poke a lot of fun of it on our Instagram, that the trailer did come out for Halloween Kills featuring Kyle Richards and her bangs. And Kyle made it into the trailer. Basically, the extent of it is her saying something like, run! And then Michael Myers like grabbing her by the throat and slamming her up against the side of a car. So it doesn't look like it's going to go so well, but I'm sure it'll be very fulfilling for Kim Richards to see that visual.
Yeah. So let's see here. We start with them. Okay, so then we go over to Dorit and Peaky's, whatever house that they're squatting in at the moment. And they're very romantic. You know, she's like, what's going on, my lovey buggy?
Babe, I've had this crazy week, and we're doing a live stream from the Royal Albert Hall in London. And as we all know, a live stream is when I go to the Royal Albert Hall in London and pee in front of a live audience.
Yes, the Royal Albert Hall in Spanish Denmark. How long will you be away, my doughy prince?
Well, I'll be away for a good 2 weeks, unless the Pringles order comes in early, then I can arrange a flight.
So then we go over to Rinna doing something for Project Angel Food. And she's like, hello, everyone. I'm at Project Angel Food. It's me, Lisa Rinna. I can't wait until you taste my new dusters.
And they're like, oh, sorry, we actually weren't live yet.
Okay, let's take it from the top. Okay, now when do I actually have to pee? That's how PK said this works.
Hello, everyone. So then we go back to, then we go over to Sutton, who's picking up Erica for, you know, just some old warm girl time before we get the inevitable clip of Erica freaking out all over Sutton.
Yeah.
I can't stop thinking of that clip as I watch this scene.
Same. I was like, what is going, I thought they are going to hate each other this season. So Sutton arrives in her big new Bentley, and Erica's like, well, she's luxurious. This is fab, honey. And they go speeding down the street, and Sutton's like, well, this is my midlife crisis divorce gift, I guess.
Oh, is that what I'm having? You know, based on Tom's previous two divorces, he's a fighting motherfucker until the end, and if I get a Bentley out of this divorce, I'd be thrilled.
And Erica's acting like she's never been in a luxurious car before. She's like, wow, look at it. It's so fast. Look at me, fun-loving Erica, just being one with the paws.
Yeah. And they drive by one of these Hollywood tour buses, and they're recognized. And a lady screams from the bus,
don't divorce your husband.
She's like, hold
you
on to that money.
Money, bitch.
Yeah, exactly. So they wind up going to a spa that Sutton has rented out, and Sutton's like, well, Erica, I did create a gift basket for you, a gift bag for you. Okay, now here's something that poor people eat. It's called pop chips. I don't know if it's soda or wood chips, but you can experiment.
Now, this is bread that comes in a bag. Amazing. You're going to love this.
Now, this is this right here, pop chips. I know that's what you call Tom every now and then, Papa Chips, but actually it's actually a snack. Oh, and here's something. It's called English toffee, which I believe is when they take coffee and they freeze it into the shape of a tea, which is why it's called toffee.
And some frankincense and myrrh. I'm like, what the fuck? What are we getting biblical now?
What is this gift bag?
Get out of here with that.
She's like,
this is a poor person gift bag. Because at first I was like, you know, Sutton going to pick up somebody who just lost all their money in a divorce is not cool. Like, you're showing up in a Bentley. That's not cool. But, you know, she is trying to relate. I think you're right with this basket. Just giving it. Like, here's some dollar store Band-Aids with Charlie Brown's face on them. You're going to love them.
Now, here, I bought these things at the dollar store. It's a giant barrel full of fun little pet goldfish that have been turned into puffy worms.
Oh, it says cheese doodles.
Yes, I think that's the breed of goldfish. They're called, you know, like golden doodles? These are cheese doodles, okay?
And she tells us, well, I have been through a divorce, and they take a long time, especially when it's complicated. And by complicated, I mean rich people divorce.
Okay. You need to treat yourself to something wonderful, okay? The more things you can pick yourself up to do, the more you need to do it. That's why I got you this thing. Look, it's a ball attached by rope to a tennis racket, and you just bounce, bounce, bounce. Oh, it's hard. It's hard, Erica. Here, you play with that in the corner now.
So how are you feeling, Erica? And she's like, well, the moments I feel good and moments I feel bad. It's like, so you're alive, basically. You're like a living human being. Congrats.
And Sutton's like, so are you guys talking or calling?
No, we're not. We're not even texting, but that's mainly because Tom still doesn't know how to use a cellular phone. But, you know, it's neither here nor there.
He's probably mad at me. Oh, you think? Just dropping him off of work and then having a moving truck move your shit while he's gone and not telling him you're leaving. Yeah, he's probably mad, Erica.
A lawsuit.
Yeah, he's probably mad.
And son's like, well, we were married to a very powerful man.
Yes, and they get very, very possessive. I mean, if you think he's going to roll over and say, here's your small fortune, I mean, come on, honey, that's not going to happen. Although he might roll over. I mean, he literally just like rolls over in bed and it's like, whoa, it's a lot of drama.
He'll roll over and say, hey, honey, hide my small fortune. How about that? Do some work. She goes, I know who Tom is. I know how mean and utterly dismissive Tom is. And then we get the scene of, excuse me, Erica. It's me talking and not you talking, Erica.
Quiet, Erica. Quiet. So,
go to your room, Erica.
So then we go over to Crystal's house where she's having a relatively boring scene with her kickbox trainer. And it's like, boxing, boxing, kicking, kicking, kick, knee strike, knee strike. And Crystal's kickboxing because she's trying to get baby weight off. And, you know, she struggles with body image. And if she stops working out, her body image changes. So, you know, regular routines help her out, you know. So she's basically what I like to call all of us.
Yeah, I know. I like when she said, you know, if I stop working out, my body image changes. You know why? Because your body changes. Okay.
I know.
That's why. I stopped working out. And guess what? My body image changed because I look different. Okay. It's like when I stop working out, my image of plane seats change. It's crazy. It's just suddenly plane seats look smaller. It's nuts.
I love when Crystal has her like bombshell observations. Guys, I'm an eater. You know what I love to do? Eat food. I like to eat food in the morning. I like to have breakfast. I like to have eggs for breakfast. It's like, okay.
So she has her kids kickboxing too. They get their own lesson. And Zoe is having a fit about it. She's like, I don't want to take a shower and then get sweaty. Which to me sounds totally reasonable. I mean, call her a little bitch all you want but I think that sounds totally reasonable.
That's also literally my life. Like showering and then getting sweaty right afterwards. Like why? And then
plan your shower better. Like did Rashad just show up by surprise? Like you guys knew he was coming, right? I think Zoe pulled a Ronnie and it was just like, oh, whoops, sorry, just took a shower.
And then Zoe pulls a Crappins and she just goes, you all are stupid.
I know, quickly becoming my favorite child on Bravo. You're all stupid.
So there's more kickboxing and nothing interesting happens. So then we go over to cryotherapy, one of the classics in the Bravo stable. And Erica goes in. It's like negative 111 degrees. And she's like, well, the ice queen can take it, baby. I'm good at it, you know, because I'm cold. Because it's a cold. I'm cold and I'm going into a room that's cold. And we're going to be cold together. I'm cold. What I'm trying to say is, I'm a freezer. You know what I like to do? I like to buy frozen food because I'm cold. Am I selling this yet? I'm cold. I'm a cold person.
Yeah, this is not working. I'm just going to say that. This Erica and Sutton bullshit. No one's buying this. Okay, this is the most stilted shit I've ever seen.
All right, now it's your turn to go in. Oh my God, look at Sutton. She's cold.
Sutton's like, I'm cold. Okay, you two. Let's stop with the wacky Erica and Sutton shit. It's not working.
Well, now I'm going into the sauna, which is hot because the sauna's hot. But I'm the ice queen, so I'm cold. Hot and cold. Two temperatures.
Oh, I have a sauna. Well, I had one.
So it's like, all right, I have to ask, are you mad at Tom for not coming to see you in Chicago, in New York? Because I would be very pissed. She goes, yay, it hurt. Your wife that you supported and funded becomes a lead on Broadway and you don't go to the show. Then I have to go out there and defend it. Oh, you're so full of it. You said on, I'm so glad they showed this clip, kind of. But what she said on the reunion made total sense, that Tom didn't come see the show because she wanted him to wait until she had been in it for a while. So she was good in it. And then COVID hit, so he couldn't go to the show.
Yeah. Also, a strange turn of phrase to say the wife that you've supported and funded, as if it's like a Kickstarter campaign. So then Erica is like,
now you tell me if I feel loved. I'll tell you what I do feel. Cold. I'm an ice queen in a sauna. Wow, the irony is not lost on me.
So she's like, oh, he couldn't even come for 24 hours.
You know, this isn't a marriage between Kyle and Mauricio or PK and Dorit. My marriage was different, and that's the hardest part to reconcile.
Like, did you think soulless. That you were married for Lev? I'm so confused. Did you just realize that this marriage sucked? Are you just realizing that right now?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. It's funny how like that becomes crystallized when there are major lawsuits. So Sutton's like, well, I'm really hoping that this time in this spa, this very strange social experience we're having, is going to help you relax. And Erica's like, Sutton is one of the most kind-hearted people that I know. She's just the sweetest thing. She's nice. She brings you strange coffee that's in the shape of a bar. And you know what? I love her to death, and we'll never get into a fight. Not at all.
So then we go to Garcelle doing the Real Real talk show from her house, and she's ending it up, and she's like, well, we hope that you can establish a relationship with your mom and live your dreams. All right. Thank you, ladies. Bye.
I just want that. I just want, like, every episode of Beverly Hills to just be the tail end of one of Garcelle's broadcasts. Well, I'm sure he'll never touch a cauliflower again. Until next time, everyone. Bye.
So her assistant Taz is over, and she's got the boys today, and she's also got a new lady that's cooking for them, you know, because she's very busy, okay, which I get, but Glenda, you're gonna need to do better than fried cauliflower, okay? You know what, this show is upsetting me today. Beverly Hills is upsetting me. I'm not gonna lie, I'm pissed off at all of it.
First of all, I love fried cauliflower. And that is funny that I made a cauliflower joke and now we have a cauliflower comment. But one thing that was really funny about this cauliflower that was being cooked on the stove. So Garcelle's like saying to her boys, like, you guys hungry? And then we have a close up of the cauliflower and the cauliflower gets its own chyron. Did you notice that? It says fried cauliflower. Like, thanks. Is this a new housewife? Like, it's like this cauliflower is getting larger billing than, you know, Eden Sassoon.
They're just really trying to make the chemistry work. Like, you know what? Cauliflower goes with everything. Let's just add cauliflower to the cast.
We love the story that cauliflower has to tell. We really think it's that cauliflower is going to bring a great dimension to the show.
It was really, I mean, you know, they can blend with anybody. You know, it was between cauliflower and a soaked cashew.
You know what? Next season, cauliflower's going to become best friends with Kyle and start wearing little fedoras.
Kyle just starts walking around without cutting her stalk because she's jealous of the cauliflower.
I know. It's like cauliflower's version of bangs. It just has like all its greens out.
So one of her kids is asking where his fish went, and the Kyle fish has died, guys. Yeah.
Who'd have thought? Well, Michael Myers. Michael Myers' fish probably got loose.
Yeah, you shouldn't have put him in with the Michael Myers fish. Exactly.
So one of the sons is like, oh, the Kyle fish died. Well, that was the bad one. I didn't like that one. So even the son didn't like the Kyle fish. And then they give a in loving memory of Kyle Beauvais, like 2020 to 2020 card on screen.
So she talks to her kids about getting married again, and they're like, no, you only love me, mother.
Yeah.
And she talks about how divorce has affected her kids, and, you know, she remembers putting Jax to bed, and he said, when I'm with you, I miss Dad, and when I'm with Dad, I miss you.
And Garcelle's like, and when I'm with you, I miss Brad Pitt. God, I would love to rock his world.
What does the cauliflower think about this? The cauliflower is like, I'll never date again.
The cauliflower has been traumatized by relationships. Cauliflower has had a rough go at it.
So let's see. Then we go over to Erica going to Rinna's, and she sees the new Range Rover, and she's like, "Kayo!" It's a Range Rover! Yes, Range Rover! Yes, honey, Range Rover! I love Range Rovers.
Rinna is so unhinged this episode. She is absolutely like psychotic.
Everything that happens now, Rinna just screams and squeals and claps like a seal and throws her head back. Like
she emotes so hard. Like someone get her an acting gig, because does not have an acting gig, she doesn't know what to do with her emotions, and so she just like she basically is auditioning with every emotion she has. So they are going to go shopping, and Erica's like, well, I've never had a Range Rover before. This is my first one. Wow.
I love a new car. I love this moment. I love it. I love it.
Rinna, just put on your seatbelt, okay?
Erica's like, yeah, that smell of chemicals really does something to you, crazy face.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Erica is telling us that she went over to Garcelle's, and Garcelle was like, well, I was talking to a lady at a restaurant, and she said that Tom was out with a 60-year-old woman. What do you think about that, Erica?
She's like, well, if I'm 81 and a half years old and out there and still trying to get some pussy, hats off to your player. Like, literally take his hat. It's worth $5,000. Give that to them.
And Garcelle's asking her, well, what about you? I see that you're with Scooter Braun. And she's like,
oh, please. I was seeing Glenn from Dancing with the Stars, Miss Scooter Braun. I haven't seen either of them in 4.5 years. I mean, it's just silly as fuck is what it is.
And yeah, because basically all these rumors about who Erica's dating. And Rinna's like, where does that come from? Who's leaking those stories? Who could it possibly be? Can we kick Vanderpump off the show again? Is that possible?
If I gave a shit, I'd sue, but I have so much on my plate.
Oh. Erica, what would be the... That's suing funny. About being linked to Scooter Braun. So Rinna's like, well, on another note, we could talk about
my daughter, who is linked to a guy named Scott Disick. And I was like, okay, come on.
You know, Rinna is so over the moon that Amelia is dating Scott Disick and like linked to the Kardashian world. Like, she is thrilled and she's acting like this is crazy, you know?
Yeah. I mean, yes. What you've been working towards. You're doing it.
Yeah.
And Erica's like, when I was reading about me, I glanced over at that. And she's like, yeah, well, she said, we're just friends.
And then we see a clip of her FaceTiming her kid from the mansion in Vail. And what's her buns? Tyler, Delilah, yeah. Saying, oh, I'm going to go out with a friend. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Friend, mom. Just a friend.
Just to clarify, it was Amelia. Amelia is with Scott because Delilah is with Eyal from Love Island season 4. One of the biggest douchebags of all time.
Right.
So
Amelia, sorry.
Because, and by the way, Love Island UK is back. I'm so excited. So Rinna knows Scott from the Kardashians, and she's like, well, Scott was with Courtney and they have 3 children. And Erica's like,
well, I'm a little nervous about it. I'm a lot nervous about it. I'm nervous it's gonna fall apart. We've worked so hard for this. I'm so nervous it'll fall apart.
Then a couple of days ago, she sent me a video of them on the beach. So there's something to it. Yes.
So then Erica's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he's 37 with 3 kids. 3 kids.
Everyone's like, well, you know, Harry was with Ursula when she was 44 and he was 22, 28.
Do you hear that, Ursula? Just want to remind you how much older you are from your ex-husband who I'm dating now.
I mean, 27's a far cry from 19, but hey,
who are you to judge? You're raised in LA. You're like a human being. That's who you are to judge. I'm sorry. I don't blame Amelia for this. It's not to blame, but I'm sorry. Like a 37-year-old at 37, what do you have to talk about with a 19-year-old? I'm sorry. You cannot tell me there is a notable connection there. Say all you want. Oh, she's in a mature 19-year-old. Like, you are not having good conversations. You cannot. It's hard enough to date someone who's like.
Anyone will say that. But he is a very immature older person, but he's also like a lot older than his age, oddly enough. I was watching that show that he does on E, that Scott Disick Does Houses or whatever, and they filmed that when he was with his other young girlfriend, and it's just, it's creepy. It's creepy. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah,
it's
gross. He is, sorry, it is gross. And not it's gross on his end, not on her end, on his end. So Erica's like, well, guess what, I was with Tom when I was 28 and he was 50 or whatever the fuck 33 is plus 28. I don't know. What is that? 6 years? I don't know.
And then they put up the real number on the screen.
61.
Yeah. So Rena's like, well, you know what? At least no one's talking about her eating disorder anymore. I was like, great. Another label to deal with.
I'm so glad they're not talking about the eating disorder again. That I keep bringing up. Like when Crystal talks about her eating disorder, then I'm like, let me bring up Amelia's. And now when we're talking about Scott, let me make it about the eating disorder again. I'm so glad we're not talking about it anymore.
I'm like, the way to stop talking about it is to stop bringing it up on national TV, Rinna.
Yeah, she doesn't want to talk about it. So she's like, you know, and what am I supposed to text Chris? Like, dot, dot, dot. Yeah, I just don't want to bring attention to it.
And, you're literally bringing so much attention to it right now.
Yeah.
It's like all you're doing.
Yeah. You know that Rinna was the one hiding in a bush on the beach taking those pictures and sending them in.
So they arrive at a place called Haven and Company, and they put on their Christmas hats. They go inside.
Ooh, candles. Wow.
Vintage gardenia. Oh, that's gorgeous. Vintage gardenia. Ah.
The store lady, the store clerk, is so LA. She's like, let me know if I can help you with her prayer hands. So she prayer hands at them.
Don't prayer hand in your vintage gardenia store. Please.
You wow, like this little soap. This bitch is spiritual. Okay.
This was like what? One cherub away from being a Hallmark store, and she's gonna do the prayer hands in it. Like, no, prayer hands is reserved for like hippy dippy shit. Sorry.
Yeah. So Erica's like, well, the truth is I could have taken a lot of things from the house that I didn't. So many beautiful Christmases. They bring up so many memories.
Really?
I can't compete in my little tiny doll poor person house.
I can't. There were so many wonderful Christmas memories where it was just me and Tom. And no one else really, because we apparently don't have anyone else in our family. And I could have taken so much. But by the way, memo to the prosecution, I did not take anything. And now I'm in my little doghouse in the modest, low-income community of Hancock Park, Los Angeles. Oh, it's so sad.
Yeah, it's her second time bringing up how much she's taking from the house in this episode.
Or not
the first
taken.
Time she's like, I could have taken more than just the couch. But I just took the couch. What's wrong with that?
There barely was room for a chair in my 3-bedroom house in Hancock Park. There barely was room.
Yeah, now the news is, or the goss, is that the judge finally ordered her to hand over her financials, because she's been refusing to hand over her financials and her landlord's financials to see where the fuck this house is coming from, because it's another lawyer who owns the house and they're it's looking all like kind of connected. So just getting shadier by the week. So it's fun watching Erica take stock of everything, because you know that Ronald Richards is just sitting there with a pen.
Yeah, it's not a great movie. I mean, realistically, if you're in the mix of this terrible divorce, you probably should not be going on to TV and talking about anything, right? No. So,
she's like, Santa ain't bringing me shit. Santa brought me divorce. That's about all he's brought me.
And Rinna's like, well, we can't go see Lois for Christmas. I've literally never spent a Christmas without Lois.
And then we see a flashback of Rinna talking to Lois on FaceTime. And she's like, oh, God, oh, I love you so much. I can't wait to see you in person. And Lois goes, well, try to do it before I die. Gotta love Lois. I actually felt so bad for Rinna that she couldn't see her mom for Christmas.
Yeah, but Lois has such a good attitude. That's my mom did this too when all this started happening. We were like, okay, you know, we just have to stay in for a while. And she's like, that's it. I'm never gonna see you again. And she'll still say it. It's like we take her to lunch every week, and every time we leave, she's like, I'm never gonna see you again. It's like, lighten up, lady. I started having to carry Werther's Originals around. It's like her heroin, you know. Every time she starts that shit, I'm like, eat a Werther's. And it's like she perks right back up.
Give me the good stuff. So then Kyle FaceTimes in because they're talking about how the numbers are going up. Because remember, this was being shot around, you know, late November or December or somewhere around there where the numbers in L.A. were starting to get really high. And so Kyle FaceTimes and she's like, oh, I'm just getting a mani-pedi before this whole city gets shut down. Oh, and let's do drinks at the Huntley, which I just was laughing at this idea. Oh, the numbers are so horrific in LA that we may, this entire city is about to get shut down. Oh, so let's sneak in a very social experience first. Yeah. It's like, it's not quite how, like, you, that's not like how, that's not how we prevent outbreaks.
So Erica's like, you want to get Scott a Christmas present? Hasn't she given him enough at this point, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I ask. And she's like, yeah, I'd go over there, but he's not into me, honey. I'm too old.
And I'm too poor because I got nothing now. Just want to put that on the record.
So now we go over to Mauricio barbecuing, putting some steaks on the grill.
Wow, and we're putting some steaks.
We're going to have some meats and a lot of food to eat. And, you know, the good thing about Los Angeles is that you can grill all year long if you want. You know, there's so much to eat and can't wait to eat this food.
Devastating.
So, people who are just tuning into the podcast are probably so confused.
Like, but they replay these episodes so many times on TV. One day they're going to run across that Camille scene and be like, oh, yeah. Oh, now I get it.
I'll play it for newbies. This is Camille Grammer unable to say her own sentence. So Mauricio has to sort of like pilot it for her.
Now, how sad that we're going to be celebrating
somebody else's. Yeah, when, there, on the same day that we hear about our friend's split.
So upsetting.
It's so funny every single time. This is where she just doesn't know where to go with that sentence. And Mauricio's like, okay, let me do the rest of the sentence for you. And you just hear her like just struggling to get the rest of it out.
It's just so sad that today butterscotch and clouds.
Upsetting.
I never remember that last word. I always say like so devastating.
Upsetting.
Horrifying.
Well, that's the spirit of Camille.
So he is cooking for the family. It's like family kitchen time. And Portia's like, Mom, that cabinet's not for short people, stupid. Mom, our lettuce is rotten.
It smells really bad. So Kyle is like, well, you know, Portia used to like love me and idolize me. Like many people who grew up in the 70s and 80s who saw my seminal sitcom Down to Earth. But now she doesn't want anything to do with me, much like the entertainment industry as a whole, except for, of course, the creators of Halloween Kills, which I just filmed. So
I know, you basically just explained your season one to now arc. Like maybe she has Bravo, you know? So she's like, wow, doesn't your dad look so cute with his haircut? Hello!
And Mauricio,
by the way, I'm making a super cut of Kyle Hellos from every single episode for you people. Okay.
Good.
And it's hilarious.
I like that.
I should actually send you the audio so we can play it every single week as we add on to it.
I would love that. Please do. So
How are you?
So Mauricio tickles Portia and Portia's like, Stop! I'm literally gonna drop kick you, Dad. Also, did you notice this giant Buddha they have on their kitchen island?
Yes, and I thought, God, poor Ben. It's like, Ben, you need to trigger Ben. You hate when people are like sitting on the kitchen island, sitting with their feet on the kitchen island, and now they even have a statue that sits with their feet on the kitchen island.
Yeah, it's like, well, Portia's too big to sit on the kitchen island now, so we just put a Buddha on there now. So Kyle is roasting broccolini, and she has just like piled up her roasting pan with broccolini. I'm like, enjoy having your steamed broccolini, because guess what? You overcrowded the pan, you stupid idiot. You know, I thought that. You know, that was like a real thought in my head. I was like, she has too much broccolini on that pan.
I just couldn't stop thinking about the statue, you know, because then I look at that statue and I'm like, oh, this is so tired, Faye. You know, Faye passes one of those little statue shops in Hollywood like, oh, I'm going to stop and get one of those for Kyle. She'll take it.
But, you know, Faye like pitches it as something totally wrong. Like, hey, Kyle, I found this great statue of Matthew McConaughey sitting down. You want it?
It's like, that's $900, Kyle. I think she just does shit like that and buys it for like $5 and then upsells it to Kyle.
Yeah, 100%. So they're talking to Portia about how Sophia is going to be coming home in a week from school. And apparently, I didn't realize this, but like Sophia and Portia have a very close bond. So Portia's super excited to see Sophia. Which is good because I always felt like Sophia was sort of overlooked in this family. I feel like there was so much attention lavished on Farrah and what's the other ones? Alexia and Portia. I feel like they just never pay attention to Sophia. So it made me happy that someone just like...
She's like the Gabriella of this show.
Yeah. Yeah, she is. So I was happy that there's like someone in the family just like lives and dies for her.
Yeah. So they're really close. And so they're going to surprise her with a surprise visit from that one. And they're talking about Portia, who's going to have a bat mitzvah soon. And she's crying about not knowing her Hebrew yet. So they're going to get her some help. And Maury speaks Hebrew.
It's a very real experience, by the way. I just have to say that is being like when you're 13 and you have to or 12 and a half and you have to learn all the Hebrew for your bar bat mitzvah, it's like torture. And then you like I've been Portia.
It's the singing for me, because I remember my poor best friend could not sing for hell, and he had to get up there and sing. And you know, the thing is, he really thought he could sing. So by the time he got bar mitzvahed, he was really like into it, and it was just the rest of the audience. It was like, oh God, we've got to change the rules. Yeah. Like, we need to change the whole religion around if that's how this is going to unfold.
Well, as a kid, I think for me, like you really have to do, you lead a lot of prayers. And the thing is, you read them from the book, like you're singing these songs from the book and the text is right there. But for me as a kid, you sort of feel like you have to memorize it all. And that's like very intimidating when you can just literally just read it off the book right in front of you. And it's just like, it was just like a nightmare. And you do have to learn so many prayers. And there's this one prayer, Ashrei. Oh God, I hated that one. And like, my dad eventually was like, if you learn Ashrei, I'll get you Super Mario Brothers 3. And that's how I got Super Mario Brothers 3. My parents were not big bribers like that, but that was like one thing where like it was the Ashrei standoff. And you know, we all won.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all won. God won. Maybe
yeah. God won. God won in many ways. So Mauricio speaks Hebrew. And they actually put up Hebrew subtitles. The post-production was having so much fun this episode. They were doing all sorts of silly things. And basically, Mauricio says, I need to go to the bathroom in Hebrew.
Yeah.
And
yeah, this is this
universal
episode,
I'm like, what else do I have to say?
Sometimes these episodes, it's just like what? Beverly Hills, like, I get it. It's a rough time. COVID's happening. But, like, do something. You know, like this is a lot today. So Sophia comes and Portia freaks out and starts sobbing on the floor. And my favorite part was they were telling about when they dropped Sophia off at college. And they're like, yeah, Portia cried the whole way home. And then we see a clip of that. And Mauricio's just cracking up at her. He'd be like, so Sophia's gone. That's hilarious.
But Portia is so her mother's daughter, right? Like this is the product of having Kyle Richards as your mother, is like dramatic histrionic responses to something like very lovely and surprising. She's like, I can't breathe because you left rotten lettuce out, mother.
Yeah, she's like falling on the ground sobbing when she sees her sister.
She is, and they're like bawling and bawling and bawling. And then, by the way, Alexia is standing there, and like no one cares about Alexia now. Now Alexia is the one. She's literally standing there. They're like, "Oh, my favorite sister,"
and they can't come close because of COVID or whatever. So they're just touching toes.
Yeah.
So,
that's basically it.
I was doing a cell cut. It's like
there was nothing. There was nothing else to really say about that.
So then we get to my favorite scene of the show. The scene that makes this entire show worth it. Dorit putting up a picture of herself and just squealing. She's like, bubbly! It's so beautiful! It's amazing! What a gorgeous woman! She's got poison of life and poison of pants, that one. Look at her go.
A lady in the streets and a freak in the art world.
Amazing, gorgeous, spectacular.
Redefining what it even means to be art. You know, previously in Dorit's life, when I'd go to people's houses, I'd see a portrait on the wall. I thought, how narcissistic. But now when I see it, I think, how beautiful, a revelation.
I'm not gonna hang it. So then we go over to Crystal with her glam squad, and they're all getting ready to go to this restaurant in Santa Monica. And she's talking about how she's like a tomboy, but she's got stylists. And then she does her I never eat scene. And El Presidente just looks at her like, you never eat? Really? She's, okay, that's true. I eat too much. And then she's like, watch camera. I'm eating a brownie.
Yes. And then Kathy shows up. Thank God. We're way overdue for a Kathy Hilton appearance on this episode. And so Kathy's like, oh, you're all dressed up. So then, and then elsewhere, Sutton's picking up Kyle. And so this is where Sutton is debuting this week's crazy look, which is that she's basically dressed like a cater waiter, but she has this giant architectural black bow on the front of her shirt that literally looks like driftwood. It looks like she was wading out into the ocean. Some driftwood came, bopped her on the chest, and couldn't be dislodged.
Yeah, it's like somebody's giving future Erica as a gift. It's like, here's your new catering waitress.
It's like she's a cater waitress who's being taken over by Venom. You know, like in Spider-Man? It's like Venom started to take her over and then just stopped and just like stayed like mid takeover. Venom's like, I don't know if I want to take this over.
So then Rinna and Erica are together driving, and Rinna's like, whoa, you know, I've been drinking in the day. That's what COVID's doing to me. I mean, I ordered tacos. I actually ordered tacos. Well, I wanted to order. I didn't order tacos. Why am I lying? I didn't order. I wanted to order tacos.
I auditioned to be a taco. I did. I said, does anyone need a taco? A singing, dancing taco? Anywhere. I sort of created the role.
So then Erica's like, well, I ordered steak and mashed potatoes.
Everyone's like, oh, that sounded good. But I didn't order it. I ordered tacos. And by ordered tacos, I mean, I looked at a picture of a taco and thought about it.
And I ate a fingernail. Oh, yeah, but I got a steak. And then, you know, I wanted another steak, so I ordered it again. And I'm going to order another steak tonight.
Well, if you find yourself newly single, you got to get your meat somewhere. Like Scott Disick. So eat your steak.
So there's the third scene about the women talking about how much they eat. Just today.
Yes.
So Crystal and Kathy are driving, and Crystal's like, so what are your Christmas plans? And Kathy's like, file. I'm just going to take it easy. So is your mom a good cook? File. file. And Crystal's like, no. Oh, she's going to kill me for saying that. But I mean, she cooks Chinese soups well. Well, that's how chefs are judged, by their soup. File. Crystal's just staring at her because Kathy is paying her zero mind in the car.
And I literally wrote down file, by the way. File. Kathy's like, well, I'm tempted to get those long nails. I'm like, wow, this episode is really explosive. Talking about soup and ordering tacos and nails.
Like, even the cast knows that it's stupid because Kathy's just filing her nails the whole time. And Crystal's like, where the fuck am I? And then Erica, when Erica's talking about steak, she literally looks right into the camera like, are people still watching this bullshit?
I know. It's like, we've run out of things. It's like that scene in Best in Show where the guy is going like, I like pine nuts and peanuts and walnuts, and he just goes on with nuts. You're like, what? So Sutton's like talking with Kyle about just trying to get along with Crystal, and she's like, you know, Crystal needs to laugh it off and get a sense of humor about some things. I'm like, I know Sutton's not the one saying someone should get a sense of humor.
And Kyle's like, but she does have a sense of humor. You haven't seen it, but she does have it. She goes, no, but I have seen her tits. It's like, too soon, Sutton. Okay. Yeah. So then Crystal and Kathy arrive at the Huntley. Now we get the arrivals and the yes. Gold. Oh my God.
Oh, I need you to stand up, Dorit. Stand up and turn around. I need to see this. Oh, Dorit. Oh yeah.
Wow. So then Kyle comes in with her. Hi, how are you?
And then everyone's just like, everyone's just making their arrivals. And then Rinna and Erica are approaching, and Rinna, they hear them, and Rinna's like, my God, they're loud. They're loud. I love them. They're loud. I'm like, Rinna, you are like a bullhorn, like everywhere you go.
So then they, Kyle's like, there's food there. So let's just walk over there to the food. Whoops, just dropped some bread. Gonna kick that under the table. Okay.
Oh, well, she's like, guys, I did my duty. I dropped the carb percentage of our meal by 5%. So anyone else want to drop some bread under the table? Go at it.
Hey, I've got a question. Could you make a hot toddy?
Hot toddy!
So then Kathy's like, so Rinna, by the way, how are the girls?
Girls are good. Oh, I've got a question for everybody. When I meet Scott Disick for the first time, do I call him Lord?
And Kathy's like, yes, absolutely. And do a little curtsy. Yeah. Who are we talking about?
I love filing. And Kyle's like, I'm sorry, but he is too damn old and he has 3 kids. And Erica's like, would I be freaked out if I had a daughter dating an older man? No, I was the daughter dating the older man. All right.
And Kyle's like, I wouldn't allow it. And Crystal's like, hell no. I would lock her up. This is Sutton now. I would lock her up in the house and take away her cell phone and spank her.
Well, as someone who has kids in the public eye, it could be worse. Could be a man without a fam.
So then I guess Rinna finally notices Dorit and she goes, hi, Dorit! Hi!
We're talking about Scott Disick and the fact that my daughter's dating him and that basically I'm part of the Kardashians now. How are you?
And Kyle goes, mazel! And Kathy says, doesn't that mean Merry Christmas?
Yeah, no, Dorit's like, because when Rinna's like, we're talking about Scott Disick, Dorit goes, oh, mazel tov or no? And then all the girls are like, oh, no. And then the producers ask Kathy, so what does mazel tov mean to you? And she goes, oh, well, it means happy celebration or good luck or Merry Christmas. It just not
Dorit whispers to her. She's like, it means congratulations, Kitty.
Oh, I thought you meant. What? Oh, I thought you meant to me.
Me? Oh, well. You know, listen, just tell her, don't be the cow that gets milk free. Is that it?
No, Kathy, it's why buy the milk when you can get the cow for free? Street's like, other way, Kyle. Why buy a fedora when you can also get milk for the same price? No, Kyle.
Why pay for milk after it's delivered? It's used milk.
How much milk does a cow drink? No, Kyle.
And Kyle's like, I don't know how it goes anymore. And Erica just goes,
there's a lot of milk in this town.
And I'll have a lot of it with my steak that I'm going to have, most assuredly, like the steak I had last night and this morning, which I definitely had.
So they joke about how old Scott is, and Carol's like, don't worry, this too shall pass. Like, how long could this last? And then Garcelle's like, well, my son Oliver, who I thought was lost beyond lost, told me I met this girl, and she has an 8-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 2-year-old, and I thought, wow, this kid really knows how to sabotage his life.
And Rinna is, while Garcelle's telling this story, Rinna is doing all the dramatic, you know, movements. First her eyes bulge, like, and then she goes, oh, and then she clutches her heart, like, she's like doing like silent film over there in the corner.
Well, she hears 8-year-old, 5-year-old, and 2-year-old, and all she thinks is that her daughter has competition coming down the pike. It's like they're almost old enough. They're almost old enough for Scott. Oh, God.
And then Garcelle says, but guess what? turns out this is the best thing that has ever happened to him. And then Kathy's like, beautiful, beautiful. Now, you're talking about him getting a nail file, right? The most beautiful, best thing that happened to him. Mm-hmm, I believe that.
And Garcelle says, yeah, they're now my grandchildren. So you cannot judge a book by their cover. And when it's like,
case dismissed, book. Case dismissed. I'm not judging you.
Was her mouth wide open?
She is out of control.
So they all take a seat to eat. And Kathy's saying, well, truthfully, my mother couldn't stand Rick because he was so bold. But that is not true. I'm not believing that for one damn second. Your mother, you found a Hilton. Your mother probably had him tied up in a trunk for the first week to make sure he couldn't get away.
Feeding him T-bolts until he agreed to marry you. So then Kyle, of course, can't resist making it about her. She's like, oh, I know. Like when I met Mo, I wasn't Jewish. I was divorced. I had a baby. A successful actress known far and wide for her work in seminal sitcom about a maid who died and came back as a ghost, and I was the daughter in that household. You're welcome, everyone. Couldn't get any worse, and my grandmother acted like I was invisible, much like that ghost maid. So I wrote her a big, long letter, and I said, I love your grandson, and no one's going to get bangs the way I'm going to get bangs, so you better get used to it. And she always treated me like a daughter after that.
And so it's like, excuse me, why aren't we talking about this? Garcelle has three boyfriends. And Brenda goes,
She just takes a glass and throws it against the wall. Just knocks over a chair.
Flips the table over, takes off one of her shoes and throws it at a waiter.
She takes the bread from under the appetizer table and flings it over the edge of the Huntley balcony.
Lights herself on fire.
Lights herself on fire and runs to the fountain in the lobby.
She has three boyfriends! How are you? Own it!
So, Garcelle, I love how humble Garcelle is. She's like, well, I had to get signed up to Bumble. My dating coach is making me do that. So, you know, I had to verify my picture like 5 times because people look at me and they think I'm catfishing them because they're like, oh, really? Someone this gorgeous is on Bumble.
So, Garcelle, what you're telling me is that Bumblebee now does catfish in addition to tuna fish? Is that what you're saying?
And Erica's like, yeah, she's telling me I have to get online. And I told her I've been sorting through digitized medical records for days, bitch. What do you think I'm doing?
And if in case there was any doubt that Erica married for money, she goes, this is what I say. Send me your financials and then we'll know if we're fucking or not. I'm like, okay, well, I guess it's now official, right? You literally married him for money.
So Kyle goes, well, you have to get a blue check before you can check this. I was like, wasn't your whole thing about marrying someone like poor and not famous? And yeah. Erica goes, yeah, you need a few blue zeros. Yeah. And so Kathy says that you never know how long things are going to last. And Sutton's like, nothing lasts forever.
And she sings it too, by the way.
Go fast. Oh, yes. Nothing lasts forever. And Kathy goes, oh, that's great, Thomasina.
And then everyone's like, huh? She goes, well, Thomasina is a peeping Tom. By the way, this is Kathy Hilton would just like hit it off so well with my dad. My dad is the king of doing an inside joke, but that has never been established before. And you're like, wait, what? He's like, you know, Thomasina, you know, because like peeping Tom is like Thomasina. And you're like, oh, okay. Okay, Dad. Kathy is basically my dad. And I've never
Kyle's
been so honored.
Cracking up all over Kathy.
Yeah.
And Sutton's like, well, I love nicknames. I mean, Rich Lady, Crazy Cat Lady. I mean, those could be good. But Peeping Thomasina, that's just not my favorite.
Peeping Thomasina!
Yeah, yeah, the Peeping Tom thing. I thought that was really funny that you said that, Kyle. And Kyle's like, oh, what she means is Kathy was away, so I was explaining the whole thing about Tahoe, you know, how Crystal said she felt violated, you know, like that implication, that made itself sexual.
So Kyle has now pivoted fully back to this conversation. Like, it was not only brought up, but then instead of just, like, letting it just die. She is now back, and now she's saying that. Now she's complaining about the word violation.
Fucking Kyle. This is Kyle, okay? When people are like, why don't you like Kyle? You're so mean to Kyle. Because this is what Kyle fucking does every single time. It's like, I want you to feel comfortable. And then she throws them under the bus and just like makes their life fucking miserable. She's a typical mean girl. She makes me nuts.
And then she
already went through this all, and it was last week. Like, let it go.
Let the mouse go. No, and not, she brings this up, and then she acts all innocent, like, why? I just want people to be honest. Why is she mad at me? Why? She's like, why? When she's like totally, you know, stirring the pot. So Crystal's like, well, I was naked and I felt uncomfortable, but I didn't make it sexual. And Kyle says, well, I've been in a public bathroom going, like, you know, peeing, and someone walked in and I didn't feel violated, and I'm sure it wasn't fun for them either. Like, there are so many other words Crystal could have used. Embarrassed, awkward, rude. I'm like, or violated. Like, there's nothing wrong with her saying she felt violated. Like, she did, like, she was naked and son came in and she was embarrassed and she did feel like awkward and she did feel like it was rude, and in summation that equated to feeling like her space was violated.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little over the top, but honestly, I'm so fucking sick of this conversation. So Beverly Hills, like, here we go again. So Kyle's like, you guys agree with me, right, girls? That, you know, it sounded like she was saying sexually violated, and Erica's like, that's how I heard it. And Crystal's like, actually, violated means not respecting personal space. And Renee goes, also, it means violation of privacy. It's like, well, that's actually using the word violation.
I know. The definition of violation does not include violation. And they start putting the definitions that they're coming up with on screen, I think, to highlight this. It was like a game show all of a sudden. It's like, name five uses of the word violation.
Violation of privacy.
And then Crystal's like, well, look, it actually means abusing privacy, disrespect of boundaries, period. Google it. And so Crystal reads us the definition. She goes, I didn't hear anything sexual in that. Okay, no, but maybe it doesn't technically mean that. But in modern terms, yeah, it usually is. That is usually how it's meant.
So my feeling is this. Did it feel slightly like an over dramatic term to use? It felt that way slightly, but I'm also not Crystal, and not, I don't have her experiences. I don't have her body image experiences. So, and I agree that violation is often used in that sort of context, but I also think she used the word, and I think what's more, egregious is not that she used the word, it's the way that they are now making a whole thing about how she used the word. And then they're also on top of that, they're all as a group coming down on her for using the word. And there was something about this whole scene that I thought, like, rubbed me the wrong way. I think that if she felt violated in that moment, she's allowed to say she felt violated. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Well, the fact that they've already discussed it and they made up in front of every lady there. And
literally,
the fact that Kyle's bringing this up again to, like, hammer home that she's, like, falsely accusing someone of sexual assault, which is also pretty crazy. That's, like, a crazy exaggeration. That's just too much. Like, enough with this bullshit. You guys need to fucking do something on this show. Do something.
As if, also, I'm sure if you go through the logs of Beverly Hills, you can find many times where Kyle was like, I mean, she came to my house and she, like, sat in that chair and judged me, and I was like, totally violated. Like, you know that they've totally used violated in.
Well, it's such a Beverly Hills thing because everybody's wrong, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, Crystal, too much. That was shitty. And then to go around to every single person there, like, well, it was just so weird and she was so creepy about it. I didn't like that Crystal did that. I don't like that Kyle brought it up. And I don't like how Sutton reacts to it when she's like, well, I didn't feel violated at all when Kathy walked in on me half naked. Seems to me like that's not normal on a girl. It seems to me like that is normal on a girl's trip. So maybe Crystal doesn't have real girlfriends. It's like, no, you were an asshole and went in with someone didn't say come. Like, you're all wrong.
Everyone has their own personal experience. Everyone has their own personal experiences and their own relationship with their body, and, you know, and have had their own experiences with their body for better or worse. And so, like, maybe someone walking in on you is a little different than someone, than, you know, the other way, like walking in on Crystal. We don't know. So, So yeah, so Garcelle is saying that she thinks that violation, if you're saying that word, it has to be intentional. And now Sutton's saying that, like, not knowing that Crystal was naked can't be a violation. And meanwhile, Rin is in the background just going,
I said violation is violation. I hope that was enough. Hope that was helpful.
Yeah, I think ultimately what this is about is that Sutton is afraid of being canceled again, right? She's afraid that she's going to be somehow perceived as a sexual predator or whatever, and she's going to get in trouble on the internet. I don't think the internet really cares that much. I think, you know,
I did it first, but it's like, enough. Like, we're 7 episodes in, for fuck's sake, people. So Rena's like, you know, if you walked in on me, my reaction would be, woohoo! Like, not helping. And Crystal goes, well, not me. Mine would be, get out. But, you know, but Sutton's reaction was, what are you doing over there? And she's like, I need to defend myself for 2 seconds. I wanted to talk, okay? Your light was on. I came in. You were on the phone talking to what now appears to be Teddy Mellencamp. Did you know that?
No, she was talking to Teddy Mellencamp?
Well, Teddy on her Insta apparently was like, come on, Crystal. I mean, I talked to you earlier that day, but that was not me that you were on the phone with. And I was like, oh my God, you're friends with Teddy? Come on, Crystal. Like, I like Crystal, but you're pushing it. You're pushing it right now.
Wow. So, so she's saying, Sutton's like, I didn't say anything creepy, you know? I mean, to be fair, Crystal has gone around. And, like, as much as Crystal's like, I don't want to talk about this anymore, we saw all that footage last week of her telling everyone everything. And her story did get more and more, like, and it was creepy. And then she pulled out a body part. She took out someone's heart and just dangled there in front of me and waited for a crow to come in and then called the paparazzi. It's like, where did this story go? You know, where did this come from? Yeah. So Crystal's like, I don't want to talk about it anymore. And Sutton's like, well, now I'm getting angry. And this is what you do not want to happen. You do not want me getting angry. Yeah.
Ooh. And Crystal just laughs. And she's like, well, reality is reality. But I'm not emotionally in a bad place. And she goes, listen, it happened. That your divorce happened a long time ago. Stop blaming your divorce for everything.
Yeah. And was it the divorce? Oh, I thought she was saying the move. Either way. And Sonny goes, oh my God, who are you? And Crystal's like, I am a person that tells the truth. Okay. And is also married to the director of The Lion King. So yeah. Sutton is like, well, you know, I had a very stressful week. Okay. I had moved a week before Tahoe into my house. Yes. Kyle's house. And I was very vulnerable. And I have apologized for that. Okay. And I'm not going to sit here and let you make it look like I was some weirdo.
Yeah. Tell all these girls that nothing weird happened. She goes, I did say that. She goes, then we're going to need to be honest because this is my reputation. She goes, then I admit to saying that. And Sutton goes, yeah, well, I didn't. No, Sutton says, then admit to saying it. She goes, no, I just said whatever's going on in here. I didn't say it like, ooh, whatever's going on in here, like Mr. Poppins.
And Kathy goes, oh,
Who's Mr. Poppins?
Who's that? Poppins? Mazel tov to him, whoever he is and wherever he is.
Merry Mazel tov. I hope he gets everything he asked for from Santa. Yeah.
And Garcelle says, wait a second, does Mary Poppins have a man and I don't?
And so Crystal's like, I'm just saying what happened. And Garcelle goes, well, listen, you know, she wouldn't want to come into your room. And she goes, I do not believe that she came in to do anything weird. Okay, I've already said that. And Dorit's like, oh no, the conversation was a little bit different.
Yeah. And so Dorit says that Crystal's story at first made it seem like Sutton, you know, hurt her and made her feel uncomfortable. And then we see 3 weeks earlier, Crystal was like ranting about Sutton to the girls and saying how creepy Sutton was, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. And so then Kathy's like, girls, you were moving. Listen, everyone's under pressure. You're away from your family for the first time, Crystal. And I was away from Rick. You know, I called Kyle and I said, what did I get myself into? I was very excited, very scared. You know, and it was difficult figuring out what makes the fan go was hard. Yeah. Turns out it's electric, whatever. Kyle fixed it.
turns out it's electric. So, but you know what though? I said, Kathy, you can go to Tahoe because you know what? I have my sister there. I have Lisa there. I've met this Erica person a few times. And this my buddy, this English doorstop, whatever her name is, my English friend
English?
Is here.
I'm not English. I'm Norwegian, Spanish, French, Italiano. How then, dare you?
And Kyle's like, aim to rate the British girl, yes.
America's like, she's from Connecticut, babe. I'm, yeah. I'm sorry for being so many places. I'm sorry for being a skin passport. All right.
Well, I'm sorry. I figured out a way to go from Hartford, Connecticut, all the way to the banks of Port Argyle and to the deep recesses of Luxembourg. I'm sorry that I'm a world traveler like that.
I'm sorry that I've been stamped more than the floor of a Lord of the Dance gymnasium. Sorry!
Sorry that I've been lucky enough to visit the Phillip Pines. Sorry if I've been to Australia. But that's just my life, and I can't help if my accent reflects that.
And Kathy's like, but I will say, I've never heard anything shady about Sutton. You know, it's just a game of telephone. Speaking of, Kyle, would you buy me one? Because it's really getting awful having to write letters.
And Sutton's like, well, it's a very dangerous game when it's about somebody's character, you know? And Garcelle says, you know, with cancel culture, you know, it's just not the time to throw around strong words.
Well, I know I'm a little off. You know, I have a gigantic bow on, for Christ's sake. I get it. But violated is a strong word, so please stop saying I violated you. And Crystal's like, no, I'm not backing down. That's it.
Sounds like... Crystal's like, there's nothing left to say about it, and it's done. And Son goes, well, I have to straighten my bow tie for it, okay? No.
Goodness gracious.
Wow. And that was Beverly Hills.
That was it. I mean, it looks like they're going to have to take a break for COVID soon. And I hope some, I mean, I don't know how it's going to happen in the time of COVID, but God, I hope somebody gets something fucking going on. Because I'm not talking about this violation anymore. I'm not talking about it.
Well, you know what? I'm remembering right now, it was around this time, wasn't it, in November, when Kyle and Dorit tested positive for, they got COVID around now. So I'm sure that'll be coming up very soon on the show.
And Kathy.
And Kathy. They probably all got it because Kyle arranged, you know, cocktails at the Huntley when LA's numbers were so high that they were going to have to shut down the city.
Yeah, they probably got the special Huntley variant.
Yeah, it was low-carb COVID.
It was toast under the table COVID.
Yeah, exactly. Right, you guys, everybody. Thank
well,
you so much
you
for listening.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Tomorrow is a very... Chefs, get excited because tomorrow is a very special episode of Watch What Crappens. It's the final episode of Top Chef Portland season finale tomorrow. Did you mean to anoint a winner?
Don't forget to meet us on the coast.
On the coast. We're going to go to the coast to say who wins. Who is the most winning poor person on Top Chef?
All right, everybody. We love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C.
Dana Do.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan lettuce.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Better Than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Don't Get Salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's Go on a Bender with Lauren Fender.
My Favorite Murdo,
Karen McMurdo.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell. Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.